and want to deal with one more battle that God's people have. One of the things I've pointed out as we've taught through this series is the fact that God basically doesn't put any simple warfares in here. He doesn't. We don't read very much where they went into battle and fought and won, period. But we find the supernatural. We find the unnatural. We find things happening in the battle that are contrary to what is natural in a battle as God gets involved and God intervenes. And that's really what we're after, because we're talking about supernatural warfare anyway, aren't we? We're not talking about natural battles. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against the spiritual powers. There's a spiritual warfare that goes on, and every one of us are involved in the spiritual warfare. Amen? The battles come, don't they? We just have battles. There's a way of battles just seem to find us. All we have to do is be alive, walking with God, serving God, walk in the Word, and the battles will find us. We don't have to go after them. We don't have to find them. It's better than when we go after them. We take the battle to the devil. That's really what we need to do, is get on the offensive, as we've talked about, and go after the enemy. Don't just wait till he comes to you. If you wait till he comes to you and all you fight is defense, that's all you'll ever be doing, because he'll keep it coming at you. Amen? You have no problem to the devil as long as he can keep you just protecting yourself. But we go after him. We go out to take the country. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter 5, and starting at, let's start at verse number 17. But when the Philistines heard that they anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David, and David heard of it and went down to the hole. Ah, isn't that just the way it goes? New levels? New levels, new devils, new position, new blessing, new area, new honor of God, new elevation in the Lord, and there's a new battle that comes on. It doesn't seem to give any time in between the place that he's appointed as the king over Israel from the time that the Philistines come against him. Amen. I don't remember when I said it, sometime today. But the fact of the matter is, it should not surprise us when battles come. Battles are going to come. That's all there is to it. And it should not surprise us, but somehow it just keeps on surprising us. When a new battle comes and it's a strong battle, we feel like, well, this shouldn't be. We shouldn't be going into this battle. But the facts are that the enemy does not want you to get revelation. The enemy does not want you to make a faith stand and stand till you get your victory. And when you get into new areas in God, the devil's going to come and try to defeat you and try to take you out of the victory that God has given you. Amen. I've noticed a lot of times when people have, you study that message that I preached, been a long time ago that I preached, that then came Amalek. And you'll find that Amalek comes right after big blessings. The children of Israel are out there in the wilderness, and they come to Elim, where there's 70 palm trees and the wells of water. I mean, they're out in the middle of the desert sitting under palm trees and drinking fresh, pure water. Then came Amalek. It's at the time that you hit your victory, the time that you hit a new level in God, that the enemy has a tendency to come against you. And that's when you got to beware. You got to beware of what the enemy will do. I've known people that come to church. There was I about had a divorce in my hands here a few years ago. There was a couple that had been serving the Lord not very long, but they had gotten in and gotten filled up with God, gotten filled with the Spirit. They were enjoying God, walking with the Lord. And they came to church one night, came down to the altar. I think it might have been the night they both got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm not sure. But they came down, they prayed through. I mean, I remember they had a glorious night that night. And on the way home, she smited off to him, and he popped her in the face. I mean, off and hit her in the face. I mean, right after a powerful, major service where they had both just gotten really elevated in God, and on the way home, he let her have it. Amen? Just the battle comes in, and the enemy will try to take away what is being established in God. You reached a new area in the Lord. You reached a new height in God. Now, that does not vindicate. Don't do that. Don't do that. We're not saying that's okay. Amen. Oops, sorry. Devil did it. No, no. Just got so blessed tonight, I couldn't help myself. But you don't give place to the devil, the Bible says. Amen. And when the enemy tries to come in, you chase him right out. You don't give him place. You don't give room to him. But the fact of the matter is, when you're moving into new areas in God, the enemy's going to come and try to take it away. He's going to try to come and steal it. He's going to try to come and take your victory and to take that place that God has given to you. So they heard of David being anointed king over Israel, and all the Philistines came up to seek David. All of them come up. They're not coming to congratulate him. They're coming to dethrone him. They're coming to take him out. And David heard of it and went down to the hole. In other words, he got his forces together and he went out to meet them. Now the Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into my hand?" And the Lord said unto David, "Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thy hand." Once you got the word of the Lord that the Philistines' carcasses belong to you, it's time to go out and take on the battle. Amen? And David immediately seeks the Lord. "Lord, what shall I do? What shall I do here?" Now, we're going to look at two battles. This one is a very short record here of this particular battle. It doesn't give us much detail other than the fact that the reason they came was because David had just been appointed king. And David goes in before the Lord and inquires of the Lord. Now, in the next battle that we're going to talk about, a couple of verses down, it says the same thing. And David went and inquired of the Lord. That's a smart thing to do when a battle's coming on. It's smart to get along with God. Amen? Amen. Now, I know none of you have ever done this, but a lot of people, a lot of Christians, when the battle is on, they get along with God all right, and all they do is, can I use the expression bellyache to God? They go in and say, "God, I don't know why this happens to me. I've been serving you. I've been faithful, Lord. I don't know why this happens to me. I'm a tither. I'm a giver. I'm a sower. I've been confessing the word. I confess the word over my life. I confess the word over my family. Lord, this shouldn't be happening to me." And they don't come out of that prayer time with any answers because they haven't come in before the Lord right. They've come in with all the complaints, with all the negative. And when you come in before God and all you got to bring to God is negative, you're not going to come out with any great victories nor any great revelation. There are a lot of people don't feel any better when I've been praying all day. You haven't been praying all day. God's not even listening to that kind of stuff. You think God has time to listen to you doing nothing but complaining? He's waiting for you to stand on the word of God. He'll listen to that. He'll listen to it when you come in and say, "Lord, Philistines are out here, and I know I have your promises. What do you want me to do? The battle's on, Lord. I can see that the enemy has come against me. Now I'm gonna stand on your word and on your instruction and your direction. Do you have special instruction for me in this battle? If so, give me the instruction." God's not going to lead you the same way every time the Philistines come. I said God isn't going to lead you the same way every time the Philistines come. There'll be one time that God will say, "Go up, you can take them." All the Philistines have come against him here, and God just simply said, "Go up, you can take him. I've given him into your hand," and they go out to fight the battle. Another time, God will deal with it. We're going to see that in just a moment. God will deal with it in a different way, but in both times, David inquired of the Lord. That was one of the mistakes that Joshua made when Joshua was the young general of the armies of Israel after Moses' death. Remember that? What was his mistake? First battle was Jericho. What did he do? He sought the Lord. Second battle was Ai, insignificant Ai. Little city, little town, little burg. And everybody in the army said, "We don't need everybody to go up and take that battle. That's an easy one. All we have to do is go take it." And they went up without inquiring of the Lord and got their tails whipped and had to run out in defeat and in humiliation. And then they came to God and said, "Lord, why did you do that to us?" God didn't do it. Nobody asked God. Amen? There's a value of knowing how to come before the Lord in prayer before you go out into the battle that's come against you. In James chapter 1, you don't need to turn there, but you can if you want to. Remember, it's talking about faith, and he's talking about falling into various kinds of battles, count it all joy. And then he says, knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh patience, that passionate persistence. So he said, let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And if any man lack wisdom, what is he talking about lacking wisdom? You don't know how to fight this battle. You're not sure what to do. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. You need wisdom, inquire of the Lord. You're in a battle, you're not sure how to fight the battle, inquire of the Lord. If you've got scripture that tells you how to fight, then fight by the word of God. But otherwise, the best thing to do is go inquire of the Lord. Lord, what do I do? How do I deal with this? What do I need to do? God wants you to have the victory. You know that? God wants you to have the victory. And if you'll inquire of the Lord, God will give you the wisdom that you need to fight the battle that you're going to fight. Amen. You know, I've gone through a lot of steps of growth in my own life and my own faith. I'll continue to grow in faith the rest of my life. I intend to keep growing in faith, but there are stages of the growth. I remember back a number of years, I've shared this testimony before, but it was back during the time when I ran all the time, and every now and then you'd come up with some kind of pain from running. I ran 5 miles a day and 10 miles on Saturday, and that's enough miles that you can injure. And if you're a runner, you don't usually stop running because you're hurting. You just keep running and make it hurt worse. And I remember this one particular time, my knee was hurting very bad. And I had a very hard time walking normal because my knee hurt so bad inside. And usually I'd end up realizing that I just had worn my shoes out, even though they still looked good. I'd get new shoes and I'd be okay, but I had this bad pain. And then, you know, the whole time that I've got to walk this thing out, I've got to get my healing. And the whole time I'm doing that, I've got this voice telling me, you brought it on yourself. If you just quit running, you wouldn't have had it hurt so bad. But you wouldn't quit running, you keep running. So the devil will do that because that's what you call an ambush, where the devil is trying to convince you that you did it yourself and you can't get healed from it. But that's not the truth. You can get healed from it. Amen? And I remember this particular case. I had a number of cases back then like this where I'd need a healing and I wouldn't even pray. I wouldn't even ask God for the healing. I'd just start building myself up and waiting on God. And it wouldn't necessarily be in a prayer time, but it'd be throughout the day and in my prayer time. I'd start standing on the word of God, not even praying for my healing. Just, Lord, I thank you that with Jesus' stripes I was healed. I walk in divine health. I thank you that sickness and disease are far from me. I thank you that the word says I'm healed, and if the word says I'm healed, then I'm healed. I used to sing David Engel's song, I am healed, I am whole, from the top of my head to my soles to the tip of my toe. 1 Peter 2:24 said I was, and if I was, then I am. And I'd sing that. I'd sing in the shower. I'd sing it all day and get my heart ready. And in this one particular time, I remember, the pain just kept getting worse the whole time. But I was in a service. I had a charismatic service on Thursday mornings at 10 o'clock. And I was in that service Thursday morning. I had preached the faith message. I had everybody stand, and we got into the worship chorus. And while I was worshiping, waiting upon the Lord, I wasn't even thinking about the knee. The Holy Spirit said, now's the time. Stand for your healing. And I did. I just right in that prayer time, well, I didn't do it in front of anybody. I mean, as far as speaking it out loud, but I said, in the name of Jesus, I received now my healing. I command the pain to go. And I walked out of that meeting without any further pain in my knee whatsoever. What am I saying? I'm saying that I was in a place of growing in my walk with God, growing in my understanding of faith. And before, because I didn't totally understand faith, I waited upon God and inquired of the Lord to give me direction as to how to fight that battle. And I encourage you to do that in your life. You come into some kind of a situation in your home, a situation in your family, a situation in your finances, a situation in your job, even the situations of your health, whatever it is, inquire of the Lord. Lord, what do I do? Give me the wisdom to fight this battle, to know how to approach this battle, to know what I am to do. Amen? Amen. You know, a lot of times people will come and they'll seek counsel. They'll seek it from me or from someone else. And they'll seek it concerning a person that they work with or concerning a family member. You know, the truth of the matter is we don't know that individual. We don't know how they take or how they think. God does. And God can give you the wisdom for that battle that someone else would give you wisdom that would be the opposite of that. And their wisdom might work for somebody else, but it wouldn't work for the one that you're having the problem with. God has the wisdom as to what to do and what not to do, what to say and what not to say. Amen? And when you're in that battle, inquire of the Lord, because if God gives you wisdom, it's wisdom for victory. Amen. Praise God. Lost my place. Verse number 19. David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into my hand?" And the Lord said unto David, "Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thy hand." And David came to Baal-perazim, and David smote them there and said, "The Lord hath broken forth on my enemies before me as the breach of waters." God has overthrown my enemies. God has given me the victory. Amen. It's good to win victories, isn't it? Don't you feel good when the victory comes? Whatever it is. You don't feel so good when the battle comes, but it feels good when the victory comes. When you win. When you're an overcomer. When you come out on top. And you can look back and realize, I walked it out. God walked it with me. I walked the word. I did what God said. And I've got the victory. Hallelujah. And when you got the victory, things are better than they were before it even started. Amen? All things. How many? All things work together for good to those who love Him and are the called according to His purpose. You know, in all my time of studying the Word of God, in all my years of studying the Word of God, I've never found a time when Israel sought God and walked with God that they were ever defeated. Have you? I've never seen a time where they walked with God and sought the Lord and honored God where they were defeated. And I believe that God gave us those examples back under the old covenant that we can use them as examples for living our lives under the new covenant in the warfare that we're in. And if we will seek the Lord and do what God says and honor the word of God, I believe that we'll win the victory in our lives. Every time, all the time, the victory belongs to us. Amen? Amen. Praise God. If God before us, no one successfully. Amen. Verse number 20, and David came to Baal-perazim, and David smote them there and said, "The Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me as the breach of waters." Therefore, he called the name of that place Baal-perazim. And there they left their images, and David and his men burned them. They must have enjoyed that. They drove out those Philistines, and the Philistines left so bad, so fast, that they left all their idols there. And so David said, "Well, we'll take care of these things." And they set a fire to them, and they burned all those idols up and destroyed them all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's good to be able to destroy the works of the enemy, isn't it? Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, verse number 22. And the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. So now they're coming back for another go at it. The Philistines aren't going to give up at that. They were defeated there. God defeated them. David and his forces with God defeated them. Now they're coming up again and arraying themselves again in battle against David and his troops. Verse number 23. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said... Now notice that David went back and inquired again. This is a different battle. It is the same foe, but it is a different battle. Look, beloved, the way you won one time isn't necessarily the way you're going to win the next time. Let me give you an example. Let's look at what happened here. All right, Philistines came. The attack is on, and they defeat the Philistines. But they've no more than defeated the Philistines, and that same attack is back again. And this time, David goes again unto the Lord and inquires of the Lord, "Shall I fight or not to fight? Shall I go up against them? Will you deliver them? Shall I go up and fight or not?" He again inquires of the Lord. Now, I don't know if you've ever had this happen or not, But I would say that there's a bunch of people, and in a moment, I'll ask for a show of hands, where you have received a clear, definite healing from God. No doubt at all that you received a healing from God. You perhaps started testifying about it. You perhaps shared it with your family members. You might have even stood in a church or in a prayer group or among your friends and told about the healing that you had received. And then it came back again. And you started getting those symptoms back. You started getting the pain back. The very thing that you had shared with everybody that you had been healed of, you started experiencing that coming back again. The same enemy is coming back again. Now look, beloved, you don't fight the battle the same way as you fought it the first time when you defeated it. Are you hearing me? You don't fight this time when the enemy comes back after you defeated him once. You don't fight the battle the same as you fought it the first time. There's some people that, most of us, if we've gone through that, we've been healed of it, and then it comes back again. Show me your hands. You've experienced it. You've been healed. You've been delivered. You've been healed, and then it comes back again. So lift them up high. I want to see how strong that is. Yeah, almost unanimous. Almost unanimous. And what's that tell you? It tells you it's a normal thing to happen. Kenneth Hagin started his ministry of faith back in Voice of Healing Day, when the great healing evangelists traveled this country. Men like William Branham and A.A. Allen Bowie and Bosworth and some of these tremendous healing evangelists. Amy Semple McPherson and on the list goes. Tremendous healing evangelists that operated in the gifts of healing. And one of the major frustrations that Kenneth Hagin found is when he would come into a community after they had one of these great evangelists, people would come out of the body, out of the churches, and they would say, I received my healing during that meeting. But it didn't last. It didn't stick. I got my sickness back again. And Kenneth Hagin said, he would say to them this, he would say, and I'll bet you that the first thing you said when you felt the symptoms is, oh no, I thought I was healed. See, you don't fight the second time around the way you fought the first time around. If you go at it the same time the second time around, you're going to get whipped. How'd you do it the first time around? You got in A.A. Allen's meeting. You got in William Branham's meeting. In other words, it would be like the symptoms come back and you say, well, here it is again. I've got it again. I thought I was healed. I wasn't healed. But I got to find that healing evangelist again. And you're probably not going to get healed of it this time. So, well, how do I fight that battle? That was part of what Kenneth Hagin's ministry was all about, is he would not only get people healed, he would teach them how to keep their healing. That when the enemy tries to come back again and brings the symptoms, you just plain don't accept them back. You make your stand on the Word of God. God healed me of that. I've been healed. I've been delivered. I've been set free. That doesn't belong to me, and I'll not take it back again. Amen. By the words of your mouth, you either accept it or reject it when it seeks to come back. You say, well, I thought I was healed of that. I had praised God. I had testified. And now here I got it back again. I'm going to look like some kind of a fool. And that's exactly what goes on in our minds, isn't it? And instead of that, you come back to inquire of the Lord. Now look, our inquiring of the Lord isn't always on all matters to come and say, I preached about this a little bit this morning. It's not always on all matters to come and say, Lord, give me a word. How do I fight? What do I do? Many of the words you already need are already given here. They're already in here. You already know how to fight. You know how to come against pain, how to come against sickness. And look, beloved, please listen to me. When you have been healed and the enemy tries to bring back, sometimes those symptoms are empty symptoms. They don't even have anything associated with them except the symptoms. In other words, there's actually no sickness there. You just have the pain back. And the sickness cannot come back unless you accept the pain back. Are you following me? So when the enemy tries to bring it back to you again, you stand on the Word of God, you stand firm on the Word of God, and you absolutely refuse to take that back again because you've been healed and that doesn't belong to you. Amen. I mean, the devil will do that in all kinds of ways. You'll win that battle. You'll come up against the enemy. You'll fight the enemy. You'll win the battle. And the next thing you know, here it comes back again. You thought you defeated it. You thought you'd won. And there it is back again. You did win. He's trying to convince you didn't. The enemy, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Your battle is not a battle of sickness. Jesus defeated your sickness. Your battle is a battle against principalities and powers and the rulers of the spiritual darknesses. You have a spiritual battle you're fighting. And you make your stand. I won't receive that back again. And what Kenneth Hagin would do is teach people how to walk in faith. And when the enemy would try to bring the sicknesses back, he couldn't bring them back because the people knew how to stand. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Amen. Now, I'm not suggesting that everybody that gets healed will have the symptoms come back. But many will. You saw the show of hands here tonight of people that have had healing and had the symptoms come back on you. You just don't take them. Oh, no, you don't. I was healed of that. I'll not have that back. You'll not come back to my body. Jesus took that infirmity and healed me of it. I am healed of it, and I'll not receive that back. You have no place here. When you say, I thought I was healed of that. Here I've been testifying. I believe I was healed of it. Now I got it back. It's like UPS man's at the door, got a package for you, and instead of saying, we're not taking that package, return to sender, you sign for it. Are you following? You accept it back again by the confession of your mouth. Amen. Well, let's go on here. He inquired of the Lord. When the new battle comes, it may be the same enemy, but you need to know that you're fighting it the way you need to fight that battle. And inquire of the Lord. When David inquired of the Lord, he said, thou shalt not go up. Just a minute ago, we read where he's in the battle against the Philistines. They all come against him. And he inquires of the Lord, Lord, shall I go up? And the Lord said, go up. I guarantee you, I've delivered him into your hand. You're going to win. If he wouldn't have inquired of the Lord now, he'd have said, well, the Lord told me to go up, so I'm going to go. And the last word, he would have gone up. He would have been defeated because God said, do not go up. We got to know when God's ready. We got to know when it's God's timing. We got to get the wisdom from God as to what to do and how to do. You know, there are times that when you'll take your problem, physical problems, to the Lord in prayer, God will not just bring healing. God will show you what's causing the problem. God might give revelation to you. You got to drink more water. You're not drinking enough water. Amen? Water is very important to you. There are a lot of people that don't drink much water. They drink coffee. They drink tea. They drink Coke. But they don't drink much water. Your body needs water. And there isn't anything that you can do that will substitute for drinking good water. Your body needs it. And that may be when you inquire the Lord, God may simply say, you need to drink more water. I did that diet where I was eating very low carbohydrates, mostly protein and so on, and I wasn't getting much of any vitamin C. And I had the Holy Spirit speak to me. It's been several years ago. The Holy Spirit said, you've got to get vitamin C in your body. When I don't get vitamin C in my body, either by fruits or by vitamin C tablets, if I'm not eating fruits very heavily, then I'm vulnerable and I'll start feeling symptoms come on. God gave me the wisdom. God gave me the understanding. All I have to do is do what he gave me. So there are many times that there are things that you are doing that's causing you the physical problems that you're having, and when you inquire the Lord, God will just correct you on what you're doing wrong. It is not unusual. How many have ever had that happen? Wave at me. Amen. A bunch of you have. And God will tell you exactly what's causing your problem and exactly what to do about it. And if you'll honor the word of the Lord, you'll find it'll take care of your problem. Inquire of the Lord. Find out from God what you need to do and how you need to stand. And if there's any wisdom that you need in this battle that you're in, inquire of the Lord to receive that wisdom. Here God said, don't go up. Don't go up. David inquired of the Lord, verse 23, and he said, thou shalt not go up, but Fetch a compass behind them. Very simple old English way of saying, go around behind them. Don't stay where you are. Don't go up against them. Go around behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. Amen. I hope there weren't any mulberries on them when they had to stand under them. Amen. And birds are messy when they eat mulberries. I'm telling you what. You don't want your car parked under a mulberry tree. Amen. You understand what I'm saying. But anyway, the armies, he said, go over there, compass behind them, get around behind them, and stand over by the mulberry trees. Get yourself fixed in this battle. Get yourself ready over among the mulberry trees. At verse 24, and let it be when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself, for then the Lord shall go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. What a battle this one is. I mean, God says, go around behind them and stand over there by the mulberry trees. And you don't go into battle until you hear the wrestling in the mulberry trees. And when you hear the mulberry trees wrestling in the top of the trees, you'll know that God is on the move. And the armies of the Lord are moving in on your behalf. And that God is going in before you. And when you hear the wrestling in the mulberry trees, that's when you go in to the battle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did you ever sing that old song? I hear the rustling in the mulberry trees, and I know the move is on. Move on, brother. Move on, sister. This is the moving day. Move a little closer where the fires are burning. Move on, brother. Move on. Hallelujah. You hear the rustling in the mulberry trees. You know it's God's time. Hallelujah. God has timing in what he does. God's got this thing laid out. He's laid it out from the foundation of the earth. God had a time in this battle that he laid out before the foundation of the earth when he was going to move in on the scene. And if David and his troops would have gone early, they'd have gone without God. But if they'll hear the wrestling, if they'll know when God's timing is and move in God's timing, the battle is the Lord's and the victory is ours. Timing. God's got a time for everything. Let's look at some scriptures about this matter. Go with me to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Hallelujah. You know that God has an eternal clock, and everything works on God's eternal clock. He has a time set for everything he's going to do. He has a time set that revelation comes. He had a time set when in Kansas, that Bible school professor in Kansas stirred up students in that Bible college to get hungry after the blessing of God. And he sent them home over the holidays with an assignment that they were to seek out truth in the Word of God about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Was he filled with the Spirit? No. But it was God's timing. There was a timing in God. And while they were home over the holidays, one of the young ladies got so deep into studying it and so hungry into looking into it that she came back to school in the next semester filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. The whole student body wanted this. She began to share and pray with others, and others started speaking in tongues. And that fire started in that Bible college in Kansas and spread throughout the world. Now there are millions of us, but it all started in a time that God had set back at the foundations of the earth. God set a time for this prosperity message. God has a time for the outbreaking of full-fledged revival in these last days. And when the fullness of God's time comes, the revival is coming. That move of God that we've been talking about, praying about, hearing the prophecies about, that revival is on its way. And when God's time comes, that revival will move in. Amen. Where's it going to come? It's going to come to those who are under the spout, where the glory comes out. Those that are in position for revival. those who are walking with their ears tuned toward heaven, those that are inquiring of the Lord and keeping their hearts right toward God, that revival's coming. Amen? Are you in Galatians chapter 4 at verse number 4? It says, but when the fullness of time was come, the exact right time of God, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. When the fullness, God's time was come. God has a time for everything. And everything will come in its time. Go to Acts chapter 2. You could probably quote this one, know where I'm going, right? In Acts chapter 2, and we'll start right out with verse number 1. Hallelujah. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, fullness of time, God's timing, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, filled all the place. The Holy Spirit came. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. God had a time. God's got a timetable set for everything. And we got to be in God's timetable. Look, beloved, you can do what God has called you to do, but if you do it in the wrong time, it won't work. God has a time for everything. And there are times for your victory to come through in your battle. But if you get ahead of God and you start to take things on yourself and start to try to work it out yourself, you're going to miss God and you're going to miss your victory. Let's go to the book of Acts. And we're in the book of Acts. Let's stay in the book of Acts and go back here. Chapter 14 or 16? Let's look. Excuse me. Praise God. Hallelujah. I committed to memory and forgot. Chapter 18. This isn't it. Hallelujah. Chapter 16. Didn't I say 16 to begin with? It's 16. I'm sorry. My memory worked. I just didn't trust it. Let's start at verse number, let's say verse 5. Acts 16, verse 5. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Now this is Paul and the traveling team that's with him. They're ready to go into Asia to preach the gospel, but the Holy Spirit forbade them to go. How did He forbid them to go? Well, He doesn't tell us. All we know is that somehow the Holy Spirit spoke to them and said, you don't go. You don't go into Asia. We don't want you to go into Asia. I don't want you in there. They've been preaching the gospel. They've been going here and there preaching, and now the next thing that they have said is to go into Asia, and as they're ready to go into Asia, the Holy Spirit arrests them. Whether He did it by the voice of God that He heard within His spirit man, or whether they received the word of prophecy, however they received it clear from God, do not go into Asia. The Lord forbade them to go. Okay? Let's go a little bit further here. Verse number 7. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Spirit wouldn't allow them to go there. We have to learn to hear the voice of the Spirit of God and to obey. And that's what Paul and his missionary team are doing. They're ready to go into Asia. The Lord said, don't go in there. They're ready to go into Bithynia. The Lord said, don't go in there. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. And so they went into Macedonia. They established the church in Philippi. They saw the blessings of God, the hand of God working as they went and obeyed the Lord and did not go into Asia. Now go to chapter 19. And in chapter 19, it says, "And it came to pass, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples." Ephesus is in Asia. God forbade them back in chapter 16 to go into Asia. He sent him instead into Macedonia. And in Macedonia, he established churches and saw churches established and started and ministered to. Now the Holy Spirit is leading him into Asia. And he's going into Ephesus by the leading of the Holy Spirit. But here's the thing. He was in the timing of God. He was in the timing of God. There's all the difference in the world of walking in God's timing or being out of the timing of God. To do things because we feel that it's the vision, it's what we're supposed to do, it's the way we're supposed to do it, we got to get doing it. It may not be God's time. Inquire of the Lord. God has a timing for everything. And our goal is to get the timing of the Lord. Now, this talks to us about the revival that then breaks out. And let's see. Let me find the verse that I want to read here, going down through this 19th chapter. The revival comes. Paul sees those special miracles so that handkerchiefs are taken from his body, and he has that special anointing. It talks about those that come, and many came, Jews and so on have come. Jews and Greeks dwelling at Ephesus came and fell on their faces, magnified God, many believed. So mightily grew the gospel. In verse number 20, there's a verse I've got to find here. Hallelujah. Verse number 26. "Moreover, you see and hear that not alone in Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away much people," saying, it tells us in here, in this chapter, that Paul has an effect on all of Asia and that almost all of Asia heard the gospel preached. But you see, earlier we see the Holy Spirit wouldn't let him go to Asia. God has a timing. And we have to be in the timing of God. We have to know when God says go, and know we have to hear the rustling in the mulberry trees. There is a time for everything that God has set. And if you get ahead of God, you're going to miss God. If you get behind God, you're going to miss God. We've got to be right on target to hear the voice of the Lord and move in the timing of God. Amen? Amen. Go to Ecclesiastes. Do you have any idea where we're going? In Ecclesiastes, what we're going to read? Amen. Chapter 3 in Ecclesiastes. This is such an interesting chapter, isn't it? Verse number 1. To everything. Say everything.
Everything.
Everything. What's left out of that? Nothing. There is a season to everything. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven. Look, beloved, your life is made up of times and seasons with God. And there's a season for everything. Don't be complaining when you're going through the season you're going through, because there's other seasons that are coming. You can't come into the time of the season of harvesting until you've gone through the season of sowing. There's a season for everything. And you've got to go through the seasons to get to the season you want. Amen? So he says, there is a season to every purpose under heaven. There is a time to be born. Praise God. Every pregnant woman is glad when that time finally comes. Amen. Isn't it fun for those pregnant women that last month or so, and everybody keeps saying, "Are you still here?" Amen. But there's a time to be born. Amen. Praise God. and there's a time to die. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us that there's a set day and hour to die. It just says there's a time to die. Those are two things that are seasons in life. One is birth and one is death. And those seasons are going to come to everybody unless Jesus comes back again first. Every one of us will go through those seasons. The season of birth, we've already all gone through. But then there's the season of death. He says there's a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. Or in other words, there's a time to harvest. And again, the sowing time isn't what we like. The cultivating time isn't what we like. What we like is harvest time. But you got to have the time of sowing before you're going to have the time of reaping. Isn't that right? I know a lot of people that are, I just feel in my spirit that there are a lot of people that are hanging around till the harvest time. They're watching people get involved in sowing. They're seeing people that are excited about the things of God, that are getting involved in it, getting involved in the sowing. And they're getting involved in sowing. Amen? The ones that are getting involved in sowing are expecting harvest. But if you're expecting harvest and you're not involved in sowing, you're not going to see that harvest come in. You've got to get into the rhythm of the sowing. Amen? Get into the rhythm of the sowing. We were on vacation a couple of years ago. I guess it was a couple of years ago. And we had stopped off at one of our churches and we're visiting with one of our pastors and had taken him out to eat, and we were sitting there fellowshipping. And I looked down at his watch, and it wasn't that good a watch. And I felt inside of me that I was to sow my watch to him. And I know that the devil won't tell you to sow anything, you know, but sometimes I think that we can respond just because we see things. You know what I'm saying? And I want to know it's God. If God tells me to sow anything we got, it's his. It's not mine. We're just taking care of it. And it doesn't matter what it is. And I kind of liked that watch, but I just didn't do anything. And then it came back to me again, sew that watch to him. I didn't do anything. Came back to me again, sew that watch to him. Didn't do anything. Because I was not struggling with giving it up, but just making sure that I know it was God and not just an impression because he had a worn out watch. And so we got in the car and left and went on our vacation. And we didn't get 5 miles down the road. And I said, Bonnie, I blew it. That was of God. Because it wouldn't leave. It was clear in my spirit. I was to sew that watch. So when we got done with our vacation, we came back through, even though it was out of our way, and contacted him and said, let's go out to eat again. Because I had a watch I had to get rid of. And I've sewed several watches. I have 5, 6 watches now. I guess I have 6 watches. Most of them are pretty good. And I bought 2 of them. The rest have all been harvest. And I'm just starting my harvest on watches. Amen. This is a nice watch. This one was given to me. It's a $400 watch. And I have several very good watches. And you know, the thing is, I can't use 6 watches. So as the Holy Spirit tells me to sew them out, what's going to happen? It's not going to be long till I'm going to be wearing a Rolex. You watch and see. Because I'm getting enough seed out there. And so the more you give, what happens? The more you get. But you know, it was a long time in between sowing several watches before I saw the first harvest come in, before I saw any of it come in. Now, I could have said, this stuff doesn't work. I've sowed watches. I'm not reaping watches. But I'll keep reaping watches from now on. Watches are going to keep coming to me. And it's just one thing, because it's something, whatsoever you sow is what you'll reap. You want to get watches, sow watches. You want rings, sow rings. You want earrings? Sew earrings. You want a nose ring? No. Amen. Verse number 3. There's a time to kill and a time to heal. Is there a time to kill? Well, the Bible, especially in the Old Covenant, talked about the time to kill. There were times of battle. God said, destroy them all. The wickedness was overwhelming. The wickedness had come strong. There's a time to heal. There's a time for healing to come. In other words, there are times of war and there are times for settling and negotiating peace. There's times when you can't negotiate peace. How do you negotiate peace with a Hitler? You can't negotiate peace with that man. You've got to go to war. There isn't any question about it. War is the only solution. You don't have a choice. You're thrust into the war. There's a time to kill, but there's a time that you can sit at the negotiating table and you can heal. You can bring peace. There's a time to break down and a time to build up. What's this talking about? Sometimes you have to do the demolition before you can do the construction. One of the things we've been noticing lately is how the wealthy businesses, when they give a facelift, they give a facelift. Over in front of the new Walmart on the Circle, they didn't clean up McDonald's. They tore it down and built a new one. And it didn't take them long to do it. Bob Evans, I don't know what they did on Richmond Road, but Bob Evans closed down until August. And we drove by there the other day. It's a brand new place. It doesn't look anything like it used to look. It is a brand new place. There's a time that you have to tear down in order to build up. In your life, there's times to tear down so that you can build up. There are old things that are established in your life that you'll never be able to build on those things. You got to tear them up, get them out of your life so that you can build on them what God says to build in your life. Amen? So he says there's time. There's time for everything in your life. If you try to build up before you tear down, you're not going to have any good structure. You got to tear down, then build up. Amen? A time for everything under the sun. There's a time to weep and a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn and a time to dance. It's not time to dance when somebody's giving you bad news, when somebody's hurting, when somebody's going through a battle. It's not a time to laugh. It's not a time to dance. There's a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones. You gather stones when you want to build something with them. You cast away stones when they're in the soil or in the way. Stones that get in the way are obstructions. Amen? We recently have tried to be working on our lawn this spring, and we had one area that was just full of rock, and that all had to be cleaned out and hauled away. And I'm talking about picking up rock, picking up rock, picking up rock, picking up rock, picking up rock. I didn't do it. I hired somebody to do it. I didn't have time to pick up all that rock. But before we could get grass grown, we had to get rid of all that rock. You know what happens to seed on rocky soil. Amen? And so all that rock had to be hauled away. And when all that rock was picked up and hauled away, now we got grass there. There's a time to pick up. And then there's other times that you gather rock. You gather rock to build your building, to build your house, to build your structure, to build your fence, whatever it is. So there's a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. Amen. That's good to tell some people, isn't it? Hallelujah. One time I was pastoring in Illinois, and this couple is married now, but they were just dating. And I walked downstairs, down to the lower auditorium. And when I came around the corner, they apparently didn't hear me. And they were in a time not to be embracing. And they were not just in an embrace. They were actually in a lip lock. And they didn't know sign language, but they were lip readers. I came walking around the corner, and they're like this. And he's facing me, and he says, uh-oh. There's a time to embrace and a time to stop embracing. That's the point of this. Amen. That was definitely the time to stop. I said, hi, how you guys doing? Keith and Becky. Amen. Verse number 6. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sew. If you've ever done seamstress work, you know that in spite of the fact that you don't want to do it, there's a time you have to tear it all out. You have to take the hem out, have to take the seam out so that you can fix it, put it back in a different length, a different way. There's a time to rend and a time to sew. There's a time to keep silence. That's a hard one to learn, isn't it? A time to keep silence and a time to speak. Boy, that takes some wisdom to know the difference. Amen. Sometimes we just are people, and being people, we want to talk. We want to always give advice. And sometimes the best advice is none. Sometimes the best thing to say is nothing. There's a time to speak and a time to keep silent. You know, that's the way it is in witnessing. That's the way it is in witnessing your family. There's sometimes when you should say nothing. Because anything you say can and will be held against you. Amen? And you're better off just to say nothing. Let your light so shine before men that they can see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And then there's other times that you've got to speak up. There's a time for both. What I'm saying is, the Word of God is so clear to us how important timing is. That you're in God's timing on whatever it is that you're doing. And if you get out of God's timing, then you're going to mess up whatever it is that you're doing. Because when we say, okay, here I go, God, catch me. Here I go, God, bless what I'm going to go do. It doesn't work that way. We are to find out what God's will is, what God's timing is, and get in the flow of what God has for us to do. And God will bless it when you're doing it His way and in His time. Amen. Well, we're about done with this. A time to keep silence, a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate. A time of war, and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? So there's time. God has timing for everything. There is correct timing for everything under the sun. And ours is to find out the timing of God. Amen? Well, we need to go back and finish that up in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse number 24. And let it be when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, when you hear the rustling in the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself. That's when you get up and get ready and get going. Amen? You know, it's God's time. This is God's timing. It's God's timing right now. I watch Benny Hinn. Everybody operates different in their gifts and their anointings. But Benny Hinn, in his services, just keeps building on the worship. Keeps building on the worship. He's waiting for the time. You know what I'm saying? He's waiting for that timing. That timing when the Holy Spirit is just really, 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 really ready. He could jump in ahead, but he's not going to have the same effect as if he moves in the timing. I believe that in a service, there's a rising crescendo of the anointing and the flow in worship and praise. And what you want to do is you want to catch it on its highest peak. And you have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. If you're not sensitive to the Holy Spirit, you'll write it up and then you'll write it down. And a lot of people wait till it gets back down to the low before you stop. You don't want to stop at the low. You want to bring worship and praise and the glory and the presence of the Lord to the highest peak. That's where you want him. That's where you want to bring him. And Benny Hinn keeps waiting and waiting and leading in worship and singing another song and having Brock sing another song and just moving in that spirit of the Lord until that worship and praise hits that high crescendo. And that's when he starts moving into the healing and the supernatural. He's waiting for the time, the timing of God, the timing of the Holy Spirit. There is a timing for everything in God, and there's a timing that's right. Do you ever do that? I do that all the time. I have requests. I have needs. Maybe it's a question that I need an answer from. I don't come into God and right away say, God, I got a question. I wait for the time. I get into my prayer time and I pray in the Spirit and I worship the Lord and I wait upon the Lord. I spend some time in the Word. I wait upon the Lord. I pray in the Spirit. And when I sense that the timing is right in the Spirit, that's when I move in with the need or with seeking for the inquiring of the Lord, for the wisdom of God. There's a timing with God. And we need to flow in that timing and to know the timing of the Lord. He said, then shalt thou bestir thyself, for then shall the Lord go out before thee and smite the host of the Philistines. Who's going to smite the Philistines? It says here, God's going to. It doesn't matter how many of them there are, because God's going to smite them. If God smites them, then it doesn't matter if there's 10 times as many as there are.
Verse number 25, and David did so. That's the key. David did what God said, as the Lord had commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba until thou goest to Gezer. Another battle, great battle of God's people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We win. It doesn't matter what our battle, we win. Because God is for us, and if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen.